Sota Perek Ches, Mishnah Zayin, 8-7, the last of the Perek, and here in our Mishnah we're going to define which are the types of wars for which the exemptions that we saw in the previous Mishnayos apply, meaning some wars are too obligatory on everybody that no one is exempt. So, to understand this Mishnah, I'm going to describe it outside first because I think the words are a little confusing. Essentially, we're going to see that there are three levels of obligation, three types of wars. So the lowest level of obligation are wars that are fought essentially for economic benefits. So the king decides it's in our national interest for economic reasons to expand our borders or to levy taxes on our neighbors or to create colonies, whatever the story is. So that's the lowest level obligation. Then you have we'll call that level one. Then you have level two, which is, I'll call them preemptive wars. Preemptive wars are wars in which they're fought for national security reasons, but there's no current immediate threat from this foreign nation. It's just that we anticipate if we don't keep them weak and continue to act against them, sooner or later they'll get the strength and ability to attack us. So this preemptively, we're keeping them in a situation where they cannot attack us. So that's, I'll call that level two, okay? And they'll call that a preemptive war, for lack of a better term. Then you got level three, which is when you have a war which is mandated by the Torah that you have to participate in, because either it's, the examples really, they're basically three examples. You've got wars like the conquering of the land of Israel in the beginning, when Yehoshua came in, as the Sukkim demanded. You have the ongoing war that we're supposed to fight against Amalek. Should we identify them? We have to fight them. That's a mitzvah from the Torah. Those are obligatory. And you have, you know, other kind of wars where you're protecting Jewish lives. You know, the state of Israel is under attack. The nation of Israel is under attack. And therefore, to stop people from attacking Jews in Israel, you have to fight them back. That will be an obligatory war on everybody. So that's level three. Okay? So now, notwithstanding the words, which we're going to see in a moment, everyone is going to agree that level one wars are... all the exemptions apply. Not only that, but even level two wars, where they're preemptive wars, the exemptions apply. In contrast, level three wars, where God said you have to participate or you're saving, you know, Jews and Israel's lives by defending them, that the exemptions do not apply. Okay, so we'll see that inside because there's going to be a bit of semantics here called, with these three terms. We'll have one term, Milchemes Harishus, like an optional war, discretionary war. Then you've got another one, which is called Milchemes Mitzvah, a mitzvah war. And then you have something else called Milchemes Chova, like an obligatory war. Okay, and we're going to have a discussion about which terms apply to which of these levels. But there's no actually arguments about the categorization. The categorization is going to be, in short, that, like I said before, level one and level two, the exemptions do apply, and level three, the exemptions don't apply. Okay, so let's see this inside. It says, B'midvar Mamurim, when do these words apply, meaning when do these exemptions we saw previously apply, that people who are in their first year of marriage or haven't yet enjoyed their vineyard and so on are exempt from participating. B'milchemes harishus, in optional wars, discretionary wars, by which the Tana here means, level one and level two, meaning even preemptive wars are called rishus. Of a b'milchemes mitzvah, but in mitzvah wars, that's level three, hakol yotzin, everyone has to go out to participate, afilu chasan mechedro v'chala mechupasa, even the bridegroom from his room and the bride from her chuppah. Now the truth is, that expression is a bit of a literary flourish. It's a bit poetic, and the question is, how poetic is it? It's a quote that comes from the Navi Yoel, and in the second paragraph of Yoel, he warns that there's this terrible locust plague that's now arrived, and everyone better pray or else it's going to be catastrophic. And he says, Isfu am kachu kahal kivtzu zakenim isfu olim biyoknei shadayim. Which means gather the people and get the congregations together, gathering up the old people and collecting up the young children and the nurslings. The chatan yetzei mechadro, the groom should leave his room, the chala mechupasa, and the bride from her chuppah. Now, the the meaning of the chasen's cheder and the kala's chuppah is actually one and the same. We're talking about something which, for our purpose at the moment, that's just called the yichud room, meaning immediately after they get married, they have a room together, private time, and you know, you would think that there's the mitzvah of misameach kala and the 7 days of shara brachas and everything else, ben l'chaviro, which would exempt the chasen and kala from participating, but the Navi is saying, no, everyone has to participate in the praying, and we're borrowing that same kind of expression over here in Sota, saying in our Mishnah that, you know, everybody has to participate in the war, everyone from every strand of society, no exemption, not even the chasen and kala. Okay, now, so that means everybody is fine, so certainly not people who are in, like, you know, the exemptions of the chasen who hasn't had his shana rishona, who was not zazen makoma. Of course, this person just got married, but he's running out to fight. That's fine. There is a question regarding the kala part, though. Does the bride also, she's a woman, does she also participate in the battle, in the fighting? And our Mishnah seems to suggest yes. Many Mephoreshim, however, understand this is really sort of a poetic license, and we don't mean that the women are participating. And there are different approaches than the Mephoreshim exactly what's going on here. So on the one extreme, people say, you know, Chas v'shalom, the women are coming to battle. It's a man's thing to do, and this is just total, you know, poetic license on the part of the Mishnah. On the other extreme, they say, yeah, listen, the mitzvah of Hatzalas Nefashos applies to everybody. Why not women too? And they have to get involved. And there's middle positions where essentially, okay, the women are not going to be soldiers on the front lines, but they can support from behind, you know, cooking and baking and I don't know what, you know, in terms of logistics. So they can help, even though they're not combat soldiers. So different approaches in the Mefarshim here. Now, all that said, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, no, he disagrees, but again, this is semantics. Instead of saying, level 1 and level 2 wars are considered rishus and level 3 is mitzvah. He says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, b'medavar memorim b'milchemes mitzvah. He says, a milchemes mitzvah, they're exempt. All the exemptions from the perek. Meaning, he says that level 1 is called a rishus. That's just for economic benefit for the country. Level 2, a preemptive war to keep our enemies weak. That's called a milchemes mitzvah, not rishus. And then there's another level of a milchemes, and he says in both those there's an exemption, right? But then level 3 is called milchemes chova, an obligatory war. And for that, hakol yotzin, afilu chasen mechedro, v'chal mechupasa. Everyone, like we said before, even the chasen akala from their, straight from their bridal canopy, essentially. So when the dust settles, they're actually not disagreeing that it's the first two levels, the exemptions do apply, and the third level, it doesn't apply. If that's the case, so why in the world is Rabbi Yehuda taking up like a semantic issue and just, do you call the level two, do you call a preemptive war, do you call that rishus or mitzvah, if it's the same halacha? The answer is, well, he agrees it's in terms of the categorization, like what I said. However, there is a halachic principle which you probably are aware of, which is called ha'osik b'mitzvah pater mena mitzvahs. If a person is doing one mitzvah, then he's exempt from doing other mitzvahs. So if you're involved in one mitzvah, you're doing, I don't know, you're running on a shlichut, a mission to deliver something that's a mitzvah, so then you'd be exempt from saying Kriya Shema if need be, or sleeping in a sukkah, and so on. So the point is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even a defensive war, like a preemptive war, I'll call it, I should say, is a mitzvah, meaning you'd be exempt from other mitzvahs. Whereas the Tanakhama holds, no, that's called a rishus, and the soldiers would not be exempt from other mitzvahs. So that has other ramifications. In any case, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, it's like the Tanakhama, which means that preemptive wars, if you will, are considered rishus, and therefore the exemptions do apply, that everyone agreed to, but also they don't exempt people from doing other mitzvahs that they have to do.